You feeling strong, my friend? Call me Elf one more time.
He's an angry elf.
Previously on Beer Coasters.
Let's crack it.
A little roasted roastiness.
It's definitely like a better sweet.
Yeah, right off the bat, I'm getting...
Like, we gotta make some beer to go with all this cheese.
See how clever they are?
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in craft beer from coast to coast, and right here in between. I'm your host this week. This is Chris in Dallas, Texas, and joining me, as always,
Mike from Boston, Massachusetts,
and Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And for this week's show, we continue our winter warmer land month. Today's issue...
Merry Christmas, everybody!
Today's issue is the Elven Jubilation issue. So we have a Elven Jubilation theme.
Theme, yes.
Yes.
And along with that theme, for our fermentation conversation this week, we are doing Trogues Mad Elf Ale.
Ooh, sounds crazy.
Then I think we're going to do...
Dangry.
A little talking back about the Brewmasters episode from...
Don't talk back.
At this point, a couple weeks ago. We're a bit behind because we're trying to pre-record some shows to take some time off at the end of the month. And in lieu of not putting anything out, we're opting to pre-record. So.
And plus, they did that whole skipping Monday and going to Thursday, so we pretty much missed that whole week.
Right.
To talk about it because we record before Thursdays.
They did that on purpose, just to hurt this show.
Yeah.
Just bastards.
They're gonna... Never mind. We'll talk about it later. So for the tasting flight this week, Mike, what are you trying?
This week, I am going to try Hebrews Jubilation Bar Mitzvah.
Sweet.
Toby, how about you?
Nice.
From Schmaltz Brewing.
He's getting
company.
All Jewish. I am trying Deschutes Jubilee.
We Why not? Are an equal opportunity holiday podcast.
Nice.
That's right.
And I am trying the Old Jubilation Ale from Avery.
Sweet.
Yep.
Wow.
So then we'll move into our
Lots
tweet
of
the week.
Jubilation going on.
I'm not sure if we have any backwash this week.
We'll see.
Never
when
sure.
we get to the backwash section, we'll
we
see
never
if
know.
We
can.
And then...
I think we're drinking beer this week.
Moving to last call.
Yeah, right, guys?
I think we're going to at least do that much. And on that note,
That's the most important.
Why don't we start out and maybe do some of that?
All right.
Yeah. Let the festivities begin.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're going to talk about it. Gonna drink some beer. Yeah, this is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
Thank you, Herbert, Pennsylvania.
So for our fermentation conversation this week, we are trying the Mad Elf Ale from Trogues Brewery. That's Trogues Brewery out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Their website is www.trogs.com. It's T-R-O-E-G-S.
That's right.
Com.
It's umlaut O.
Umlaut O.
Umlaut.
T-R-Umlaut O.
Umlaut
O. E-G-S. Trogs.
11% ABV.
Woo.
15 IBUs. So
Whoa.
15. This is a seasonal release, usually available mid-October to December. Style of this beer is a Belgian strong dark ale. Mm. Ingredients used in this beer, they use for malts, the Pilsner, Munich, and chocolate. Hops, they use Saaz and Hallertau. For a yeast, they use a Belgian spicy yeast.
It's a very Belgian spicy yeast.
It's very spicy.
And then for an extra little bit of juju, Pennsylvania honey and sweet and sour subtle cherries.
Subtle.
Rate beer rating of 93 out of 100. Beer Advocate users give it a B+. And the Allstrom Brothers also give it a B+.
Sweet.
Let's crack on.
Cherry elf juice.
Cherry elf juice made with subtle cherries.
Nothing subtle about the color.
And a very subtle head, I'll have to say.
That usually that tends
very
to happen.
Aggressively.
With a,
I didn't get any head.
With, yeah, it goes away.
The larger ABV beers, it's tough to get good head retention.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Very clear.
Yep.
Very clear.
Very clear. Looks nice.
It is very pretty. It's almost like a, it's not as bright red as a, what do you call it, the hummingbird feeder. It's not that bright, but
it's not that bright.
But very, very, it almost has like a pinkish hue.
Yeah.
And there are some cherries on that nose.
Oh, yeah.
Almost like a, like cherry yeasty
goodness.
Yeah, cherry yeasty goodness.
Very sweet and yet very sour smelling.
Hence the sweet and sour cherries, perhaps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
I'm even getting some banana like in that? There, too.
Oh, yeah. Yep, definitely.
Big banana.
What kind of yeast was it?
It's a Belgian spicy yeast.
Oh, yeah, the Belgian spicy, yep.
Spicy.
Totally. That smells pretty yummy.
All kinds of spiciness from the aroma.
It smells nice and yummy.
Can we take a sip? Are we allowed?
Let's take a sip. Taking a sip, yeah. I get that honey right away.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a, almost like a honey candy.
It's a nice subtle sweetness.
Yeah, it's not too overpowering.
Sorry, I meant subtle.
Yeah. We knew what you meant.
Is that the word of the day? Subtle.
Yeah.
And it's got a nice the big cherry aftertaste, but it's like that yeasty, bready cherry.
I'm getting a little bit of a medicinal kind of cherry in there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Almost no carbonation.
Although on the...
I don't know, on the tongue there's some carbonation.
That's what I was going to say. On the tongue you're getting the carbonation. It's actually fairly decent for a higher ABV, I think. A little bit of alcohol warming.
Yeah.
But not as much as expected.
Yeah, not for the ABV on it. I would expect a bit more.
It reminds me of something that I've had recently. Like the... kind of like that beer in the box that I did. The Doppelbock, the Cherry Oak Doppelbock. It's kind of like that.
Uh-huh. A lot of the Belgian.
It's interesting. I get a lot of sourness like in the back of the throat, like way down deep. I get some of that dark candy sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's even it's very sugary in the, now that I've had a few sips, it's very almost like you can like you had a cherry and you rolled it in some sugar almost. Yeah.
But like a dark, like molassesy sugar, not like a pure white cane sugar.
Right, right. Big granules. Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. Would you guys pair this one with anything?
Turkey.
Yeah, actually, this would go pretty well with turkey.
I'd like to have this with a chicken pot pie.
That's good. Ooh, I like that.
Pretty good with that.
I think something a fairly like dark meat. Bird like a duck, I think would go pretty well.
Yeah,
with this,
getting a very decent finish at the end too. As far as it's starting to dry up a little bit.
Yeah, it seems like it might be too sticky, but then in the end, it doesn't finish like sticky or too heavy.
It's weird. It's like in between though. It's there's some stickiness there, but it's also dry. It's very interesting.
Yeah, stickiness in the middle and then dry on the outside.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's what it is.
And I kind of want to say, like, it feels like the beer is kind of, you know, pretty complex, but I kind of want to say more that there seems like there's a lot going on, but not necessarily complex, but I'm sure, I mean, It takes a whole hell of a lot to get a beer to, you know, to do all these things.
I don't know. Yeah. I think when you say a lot going on, that may like ring as not a good thing.
Right.
You know, but I do I like this, and I think that there's a lot of things going on, but the key to being good is when you can have a lot of things going on, but you can still differentiate the pieces.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, when you can still get the cherry, but you can also taste the honey, where it isn't just all muddled together.
Right, right.
And I think this beer does a good job at that. So anyway, that's the Mad Elf Ale from Trogues Brewery out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
And now back to Beer TV.
Great party, George.
Yeah, but now we just need to make some beer to go with all this cheese.
So, here we are again, friends.
Yes.
With another enlightening episode of Beer TV. So we have another Brewmaster episode review.
Brewmasters. Breweries.
Masters. This one entitled Grain to Glass.
Yeah. Episode 4.
The basic concept of the show, or the beer of the week, so to speak, as it seems that they're doing, is they're brewing a beer using cedar wood from a local, not local, but a Maine surfboard company creates cedar wooden surfboards, and so they're taking their scraps and creating beer with it.
Yeah,
actually a pretty interesting concept. So what'd you guys think of the episode?
I really like this episode. I would say that I like this episode even better than the last one. Even, you know, as much as I like the last one. There was no,
they got a little more away,
time sensitive,
yes,
stuff on this one. Absolutely. There was no time crunch, which was,
well,
nice.
It was
kind of, be,
it was kind of the other way, other way around. Instead of it being like, we need to hurry up and get this done, it was more like, we've had this sitting for 3 months and now it's ready, and, you know, which of course we'll get into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's kind of a lot of stuff going on. You know, it was kind of two beers, which I think, have they done it in the past where they've talked about two beers pretty much each episode, right? Like something that they're brewing and then some kind of experimental version.
Yeah, because they've talked about the 90-minute before. They've talked about
pumpkin.
The pumpkin.
They got into the tasting on this one, which was nice.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll tell you the problem I have with this, okay? And I thought about this during the episode. Is it just coincidence that all of a sudden the one time that they decide to start filming the testers, it gets screwed up?
Oh, right, right.
Oh,
you know,
no.
It's an awfully big coincidence.
No, I understand.
So the question is, have they been doing that all along, and then this is just the first time that they've decided to show that, which is a possibility.
I mean, no, they mentioned that they do the tasting thing like over 40 times.
I don't mean the actual process, that I believe. I mean the filming of it.
And it just so happened that this one batch that they did, and it was...
Right. But well, then, no, I mean, you know, it could have just been that
they're doing this each time. And I mean, they're filming basically everything that happens at Dogfish Head. And they're kind of, I mean, they have.
Are they,
you
though?
Know,
that's the question that I have. Because this is the first time that we've seen their quality assurance sensory tasters.
Here's my thing. I actually think that this should have been episode number one. Mainly because of a lot of the stuff that they did in the show was very, it was a lot more educational. I mean, they always throw in those things like the brewing process and what barley does and this and that and what the hops do and blah, blah, blah. But this, for some reason, this show seemed like it was the first one that they did. And then now they're showing it because that whole treehouse thing,
yeah,
that treehouse thing has been there since
yeah, that's true.
Since before the show, yeah.
And that's a lot
was
to have to
aired.
Do with editing, where they, you know, they're at Dogfish right. Head for
yeah,
X amount of weeks.
Yeah, a lot of the cutaways have been showing like the front of the thing that treehouse is
you
already
see the
there.
Treehouse,
and
there,
I've been wondering about that treehouse because that whole the steampunk treehouse. I know I've seen it before somewhere else, and so it was good to kind of that they did a little
was
bit
that,
of the backstory.
That crazy
of it,
summer you went to
from,
Burning Man.
The Burning Man. Yes, I don't remember much of that. I love the steampunk style anyway, just in general. So it was really cool to have
yeah,
the treehouse and that they actually invited the guys from Grain, you know, back to the treehouse to do the tasting of
yeah.
their beer,
yes.
which was really cool. But my favorite part about this episode in particular, that I learned a few things, mm-hmm. you know, as far as the taste buds kind of being at their peak, you know, right before lunch.
Right before lunch.
Right.
And then the whole the fantastic analogy with the crass analogy for the yeast.
It had, eats
of,
it,
of
it,
it
eats
you know,
sugar
each eats sugar, poops alcohol, and farts CO2. And that's I mean, that's just it's so perfect. And it's such a simple way to kind of break it down for people to understand what it does, which was a huge part of this episode, is that the yeast was affected that, you know, spoiled this huge batch of the 120 minute IPA.
So you hear that, people? So,
which
alcohol is really just poop.
Yep.
The higher the alcohol.
Forget about spit in your beer.
So you
suspect.
Know you know
this is
you
yeast
know how
poop.
In general, wine.
Yeah, but if you constantly eat sugar, how bad could your poop be?
Right. Yeah. But you know how wine generally has more alcohol in it than beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's got more juice.
Ooh. Awesome.
Oh, that wine hate mail right now is just funneling in. Send that to Backwash.
I wanted to talk about that 120 minute and how disappointed I was. I know, Chris, you were saying off mic about how it was one of the saddest episodes.
so sad. Depressing.
And I seriously think that I don't know why they did it, because there was a quick second there where Sam said maybe we could add something to it
no,
and put
they,
a little spin on
but
it.
But they qualified that statement later and said that they thought about that and they may have been able to do something with it, but they couldn't leave it sitting in there long enough to determine what to do with it. They had to
right.
get it out to get production going again.
Okay. Well, here's the other thing though. And this is what gets me is my solution of this that they didn't really touch on. They mentioned that it was drinkable, but it wasn't up to par with what they wanted. And their reputation
yeah.
was at stake and whatnot. Do you know how many breweries brew for other places saying that, hey, this is this, you know,
right.
Joe's Bar and Grill's brown ale? Well, why couldn't this be, you know, somebody's house double IPA or something and not even have that, you know, Dogfish reputation attached to it? Because they could have
right.
sold it to somebody and nobody would have known who the hell brewed it.
Or,
and they could have saved.
Or they could have like.
I don't know.
But here's the problem.
They could have dry hopped it or something and put a new name on it, like the dry hopped 120 minutes, sold some kegs to some bars and see if people like it or not. I mean,
yeah,
look at the brown sugar from Lagunitas.
But here's
That's
the thing
like
you guys aren't looking at.
One of Mike's
at,
favorite beers.
Is it's just yeah. sitting in there right now. Okay. What happens if they decide to do that and they keg it or they bottle it and put all of the expense into kegging and bottling it? And then it doesn't work out. So then
right.
they've wasted that much more money trying to fix it. So they have
but
to make a judgment call.
If they got it sold, I mean,
but
it's not
what
like,
if they don't sell it? That's the problem.
Right.
Then they dump it. If they don't sell it, then they dump it.
Right, but now you know? They've wasted all of the bottles, all of the kegging, and all of the time it takes to do those things.
No, well, no, I'm saying
no.
The,
what?
I'm saying the steps in reverse. I mean, you've got the beer sitting in the tanks, but I mean, people are lined up to buy some of those beers. They're already pre-sold in some sense. You know, a lot of the beers.
Right, but you can't give them
120
that.
Is probably one of those.
Right, but you can't send them that.
You can't send them something that's...
It's not 120 minute.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. You're selling it. You can market it as something different to a, say, like a restaurant chain, like I said.
But it was a risk that they weren't willing to take because it wasn't up to par. They didn't know that they could sell it, you know? And what happens if they sell it as a Dogfish Head beer to somebody and it comes out as, you know, it's the first time somebody's tried a Dogfish Head beer and they're like, oh, this is...
Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm saying you can kind of mask that by not, you know... I mean, like, Alesmith has done that Nautical Nut Brown for... It's been other restaurants like Brown Ale... And people had, you know, people have no idea. It's a, you know, they could have done the same thing if they sold. It could be like Fridays, you know, TGI Fridays, and it's like this triple IPA for TGI Fridays. People are like, what? What the hell is that? And it's like sweeter than normal, which is more palatable for, you know, so.
Yeah. Who,
I don't know. I just think that they could have saved it.
I just don't think that they had the time.
I could have saved it.
You couldn't have saved it.
I could have done so much more
because they had their reputation on the line and they couldn't take the additional time and money that it would take to take a risk on something that may not pay off because then it could have been that much more money that they lost.
They're just too popular. They're too
they're at full capacity. Dogfish. And that's kind of the problem. Isn't it?
That's
their absolute full capacity. So I mean,
which is why they needed to get it out of the
tanks.
That's it. Thanks.
Anyway.
You're right there, Chris.
Yeah. It's just depressing. But
it is, but other than that, for them.
I'm right with you guys. I really like this episode. I think that it was you know, like this, like you said, I like the fact that they got away from that whole time sensitive, you know, we've got this event coming up. It's got to be done by, you know, this day. And it's like I felt that it was way more informative, and I really liked this episode. It was a really good one.
Yeah. And despite... I agree with Toby that this could have been the episode one. It was much more laid back and more informative, like you said, and it's
I'm actually wondering if it was, you know, if it actually was episode
one. It's possible.
And maybe put the Bitches Brew one first, because that one was like the beer had just come out, and they were trying to build that hype even sooner.
Most likely, I wouldn't.
You know,
instead of
waiting another month and then putting it on when the hype may have died down a bit or whatever. But I, despite all the stuff that we say about the mishaps and the time, this and that, you know, all the negative stuff that we have to say. I mean, it's in the end, it's something that we get to see that actually, you know, these things do happen in breweries. And I think that it's something that the public can see and learn something from that and go, oh, well, you know, yeah, it's a brewery and whatever. They just brew beer, blah, blah, blah. But this is actually something that does happen. There are wrong things that happen.
These may be the typical things that happen at pretty much any brewery.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
it might not happen all the time.
Even the world.
But it does happen, and this is the way that they have to deal with it and the amount of money that they lose and all that stuff. So
Yeah.
I'll tell you, every time I watch one of these episodes, it makes me want to quit my job and go work at a brewery, though.
Yeah,
I know. Well, that's kind of the one of the best parts about the show is actually the how much the employees are attached to the company and the community, you know, and you know the fact that they're in, you know, that profit sharing program, and it hurts them just as much to, you know, dump that beer, and they, you know, they want to do it about as much as, you know, Sam wants to do it. So it's I don't know, I like that, and I like, you know, companies like that, because if you get your, you know, employees to care about your company, then you're going to have just a better outcome in general.
Yeah, better product. Yep.
Cool. All right. We all ready to move into some tasting flights?
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
All right.
All right, Mikey. What you got?
So for my tasting flight this week, I'm trying Hebrews, a Jubilation, a Bar Mitzvah. This is from Schmaltz Brewing Company. Brewed It says, this is a little interesting. I'm assuming that they have two separate breweries because it says brewed and bottled in New York and born and based in San Francisco. So I know they do the Coney Island beers, and I'm assuming they do those in New York. So it actually says brewed and bottled in New York. So I'm taking it this week as an East Coast beer. If Toby wants to do it some week for a West Coast beer, he could do it too.
All right. That's cool.
See how flexible the Schmaltz Brewing Company is? They lend themselves to this podcast. Okay. So this is an American Strong. This is number 13 in their anniversary series beers. There is 13 hops, 13 malts, and it's 13% ABV.
13%?
Yes.
I guess candles won't be the only thing getting lit this season.
The interesting note
from their website.
There's an 8-pack that you can get. It's called the Vertical Jubilation, and you can build your own beer menorah, which I thought was pretty cool. And it includes like the candles and the glass, like everything that you need in the instructions to build a beer menorah. I thought that was pretty cool. For the ingredients in these 13 malts, specialty 2-row, Canada Munich, Cara Munich 40, chocolate, crystal rye, dark crystal. Hey, I've seen that movie. I love that movie. Flaked spelt, flaked oats, kiln amber, pilsner, rye ale, Vienna, and wheat. For hops, they use 13 hops. I can't even pronounce some of these hops. Athenium, Amarillo,
just throwing
Apollo,
a while.
Cascade, Centennial, Columbus, Crystal, Fuggle, Golding, Palisades, Simcoe, Tetnang, and Willamette. For
that's a lot.
Yeah, Oive. Is correct, sir. Rate Beer rates this a 98 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rate this an A-, and the Ahlstrom brothers have not been sent this beer. I'm going to crack it.
Nice.
Oh.
I've heard about these beers, and I've always wondered about them and how when you get it down to such a science and... You have this outcome that you're trying to reach, and is it gonna work? You know,
yeah.
Like, it's so specific to what you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, how many test batches do you go through with stuff like this to get it kind of the way you want it? You know, it's very very dark, very dark brown, bordering black. Light brown head, pretty fluffy head, almost 2 fingers, about a finger and a half. Some good head retention. Ooh. On the nose, I'm getting some alcohol and some really dark malts, like almost like a burnt toffee. You know, like if you stuck a Heath bar on top of a fire or something. Some caramel.
Fire.
Some... oaky, like a vanilla oakiness. Getting something else in here too. I want to say bourbon. It's got that, you know, because that oakiness and the alcohol, it's kind of gives kind of a bourbon aroma.
Hmm.
I got to take a sip. I can't wait.
All right.
Nice. Taking a sip, yeah.
It's kind of a strong anise, and a really roasted malt, like a coffee. Almost like if you ever put like Zambuca in coffee, it kind of gives you that kind of roasted dark licorice.
Zambuca in coffee.
That's my grandfather used to do that, I think, back in the day.
Wow. I
wonder why his coffee smelled funny. Yeah, I'm getting still a lot of that vanilla, and it's got some roasted roastiness for sure. And still getting more of that bourbon. I get that oaky, good roasted caramely notes on the tongue. Surprise. I mean, as much ABV, I don't know. I mean, it's very the alcohol is present, but there's so much. It's like a big, rich beer, you know? So it kind of, I think all the flavors kind of balance it out. And I was worried because there's so many that I figured it'd be kind of a very muddy outcome, you know? And like, you guys didn't like that Sam Adams IPA that time because of all the different hops. And that's what I was kind of worried about with this. And I'm not getting it as much. It's like there's certain things that stand out to this in this beer. I think it's just the right things. Well, I was going to kind of be clever with a food pairing on this one and do like a potato latkes or something, but I don't think I don't think it would work with this. I think more of like a cheesecake, some really kind of creamy, even just like a cream puff, you know, would be perfect with something like this. Something really kind of mellow and creamy.
What are you calling a cream puff?
But sorry. Anyway, that's my pick. So if you get a chance, check it out. Oh. Hebrew, a jubilation, a bar mitzvah. L'chaim.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Who are we thanking?
This is Toby out west. I am trying Deschutes Brewing Company's Jubilee. It's their festive winter warmer. This is Deschutes Brewery out of Bend, Oregon. They've been brewing since 1988. www.deschutesbrewery.com. ABV is 6.7% with 60 IBUs. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
It's available like October Toby's through December.
Perfect IBU scale.
Yeah. It's right there.
It's the sweet spot.
Yeah. An interesting note, for the past 16 years, Deschutes Brewery has selected a local Oregon artist to create an image evocative of the season's festive atmosphere. The intricate and unique art on the label enhances the Jubilee experience, much like beautiful wrapping paper enhances a gift. This year, Oregon artist Natasha Baca, it's her unique creation of light is what she calls it. And that's on the label. It's pretty cool if you guys can
see
it. I've seen that one out here.
Yeah, it's very like almost like Starry Night from Van Gogh, kind of like that. It's all wispy and
wispy.
Whatever. Rate Beer gave this a 96 out of 100 with a B+ from the Beer Advocate users and an A from the Ulster Brothers.
Wow.
Cracking it. Yeah, I know. It's pretty crazy. That's,
I guess, pretty crazy.
Glug, glug.
Bitches.
Hell yeah, bitches.
I like to shoot.
It's all about the glug.
Yeah.
I like the Obsidian Stout. It's a good one from them.
Yeah. So this is very
dark.
Yeah, you can't see through it. It's a very dark, dark brown. Well, not dark, dark brown, but it's like a brownish red, almost like an Indian brown, I guess. Is that a color?
Sure.
Isn't that one of the crayon colors?
As far as Crayola is concerned,
Indian was more of a red color.
As far as Crayola is concerned, it's a color.
Yeah.
It's there is some redness to it, you know. It's like almost like a clay, like a reddish brownish clay. I got about a half finger of head. It's sticking around pretty nicely. On the nose. Ooh.
Roasty.
A little bit of roastiness, a little bit of nuttiness. There's this really nice cookie dough kind of sweetness in there.
Cookie dough.
Yeah, that's what it smells like, man. It smells like cookie dough. It
smells like eggs and sugar and vanilla.
Yeah, a little bit of vanilla. No, there's, you know, there's egg and flour and baking soda and baking powder. Anyway.
Baking soda is not what I want to be smelling in my beer.
No?
No.
No.
It gives it a very fresh smell. Should try it sometime.
Yeah, it's like
let's just take a look at that. That's like that saying, festive wrapping paper and see if it smells any better.
It's like saying mothballs would give it a nice aged smell.
Yes. Exactly. I'm getting some naphthalene.
It's got that sweet, doughy breadiness, but then there's this really nice hopness in the background. It's a nice piney hop. I couldn't get any ingredients on this. They don't list any of them on their website, but
sweet doughiness,
except for like the crystal malt or something, which doesn't really say anything.
Dark crystal malt. I think that's about it. That's all they mention. Keep
it's
it
very
under wraps.
Tasty.
It's one of those secretive formulas.
It's very well balanced. It has a lot of sweetness, but yet it still has a nice hop bitterness to it. And there's this chalky, a little bit of chocolatiness, a little bit of caramel.
Chalky, chocolatey.
But it's nice mouthfeel. There's good carbonation. It's thick, but yet it finishes not really clean, but a little bitter, and it still leaves you with a nice aftertaste of the sweetness, the like the bready, toasty sweetness, and then that little bit of bitter hopness. Not bad.
Quite a few awards and notable comments here.
It's got like what, six? They list about six awards in the past 16 years or something.
Yeah.
For a food pairing, ooh, there's even a smokiness to it too. I don't know, man. This might go good if you're camping and whatever, like, camping-type food, whether it was, like, something that you cooked over the fire or... Not really, I don't want to say burgers, but...
Got some ribs.
Yeah, maybe some ribs. Maybe ribs might work, something that's not too sweet. But I think this would go great camping. I mean, it might even go good with s'mores. Because it has that little bit of toastiness. I could see graham crackers and marshmallows going good with this. So, yeah, take it camping. The Jubal Ale from Deschutes Brewery.
Take it camping.
Bend, Oregon.
Come on, little camper.
And now representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
So here we are in the middle.
Face to face. Couple of silver.
Everywhere in between.
And sometimes Maryland.
Yeah. And sometimes Maryland. But not tonight. Tonight I am trying the Old Jubilation Ale from Avery Brewing. That's Avery Brewing out of Boulder, Colorado. The website there is www.averybrewing.com. Style of the spirit.
There's a whole lot of jubilation going on
this
week.
A whole lot of jubilation.
Yeah.
Can you feel it?
Oh, yeah. I'm feeling my jubiles right now. Style is a winter warmer.
It's a family show.
Which is appropriate for this show. ABV of 8.3%. IBUs of 30. For hops, they use bullion hops, which I don't know if I've ever had
bullion
hops.
Maybe it's
hops.
A concentrated cube of hops.
Yeah, there we go.
It's just, just hop cubes. Yeah. They grow like that. I've seen them.
Nice. For malts, they use a two-row barley, some special roasts, black, chocolate, and victory.
Victory!
Rate beer rating of 97 out of 100.
Not
beer
too
advocate
shabby.
Users give it a B+. Nothing from the Alstrom brothers. And I'm cracking this big snatch. So on the bottle, it actually says something. Was it on the bottle?
On the bottle, it says something.
Something.
It wasn't on the bottle.
Great. We got it. Toby's got a bottle with wrapping paper on it. You have a bottle that says something.
No, it wasn't
What's
on the
next?
Bottle that I read it. But I read on the website then that this beer, it's appropriate to cellar this for up to 2 years, which is convenient.
Great. I read
because
somewhere
this,
on the internet that.
Yeah. But this this bottle of Old Jubilation that I have is actually from last year. I picked this up. I picked this up in like June, I think, or July. In July.
In the Beer Coaster aging facilities, cellaring is top notch.
That's right.
It's top of the line.
So
that's right.
Color on it.
It's a technical marvel, really. See it.
Coloring. It's a pretty brown ale. A little bit of ruby highlights. Got about a finger of head, which is now down to about a half a finger, but it's kind of staying steady right at that half finger on the nose. Some maltiness in there. Really good maltiness, actually. A little bit of
kind of maltiness.
Chocolate. Like a rich like chocolate malt. A little bit of toffee. Maybe some hazelnut or nutmeg or kind of nuttiness. Definitely some roastiness going on in this one. Taking a sip.
Taking a sip, yeah.
This is what a winter warmer should be.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. There's nice bits of roasted roastiness in there. There's no sourness to it. Lots of chocolate, coffee, toffee flavors. A little bit of those Christmassy nutmeg and cinnamon notes. Nice kind of full body, but still finishes fairly dry. This guy's tasty.
Can we quote you on that?
Uh-huh.
I think we just did.
Quite a bit of nuttiness.
Tune in to the end of the Beer Coasters podcast.
Yes, of course.
Our Beer Coaster Chris says,
This guy's tasty.
With the spicy Belgian yeast.
Oh, yeah.
I'd read some stuff when I was looking at
the internet.
Yeah, on the internet.
Again?
On Rate Beer and Beer Advocate that had talked about, and this is going to be off-putting to some people, but sort of like a fruitcake sense. But that's kind of what I think of, like a rich nuttiness and some subtle fruitiness and some dense
You mean subtle?
Subtle, sorry.
Subtle, yeah.
Sometimes I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
This episode of the Beer Coasters podcast brought to you by the word subtle.
Sweet. So yeah, I enjoy this.
You're pairing it with fruitcake.
If I was gonna pair this, I don't want to do fruitcake.
I don't want to pair anything with fruitcake.
A bread pudding.
All right.
With a good bread toffee pudding. Sauce and raisins, and maybe some nuts in there.
Bread pudding with nuts?
Yeah.
Sounds like a new concoction.
Sounds good.
This is a family show, right?
Wait, we are talking about beer, right?
Yes.
I'm thinking
this
probably is not a family show.
Oh.
21 and over family.
Yeah. It's a grown family show.
Even though we speak like juveniles.
So yeah, that is the old Jubilation Ale from Avery Brewing. And this guy's tasty.
Calacacus says, I picked up my pants and they jingled. What was it? Beer bottle tops.
It's the tweet of the week. Tweet of the week. It's the tweet of the week. Tweet, tweet. Tweet of the week, yeah.
All right, everybody, last call.
What is it?
Here we are. Last
call? Okay.
Here's last call. Did we say Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Is this?
Right before Christmas, yeah. Christmas Eve.
Merry Christmas, y'all. Mike, how about some pint ratings?
Sure, I can give you a couple of those. For my Trogues Mad Elf Ale, I give it a 4. I like it. I'm just kind of going back and forth whether I think it's sweet. Because as it's warming up, it's getting a little sweeter, and I don't know if it might be a little too sweet. I don't know. But I enjoy it, and I will definitely drink the rest of this here. And I have more, and I will definitely introduce this beer to maybe some other people. Because it just has some good flavors to kind of point out to people. I wouldn't be too afraid just because it's a high ABV to kind of introduce this, to other people and see if they can pick out the cherries and vanilla and whatnot. For the Hebrew Jubilation Bar Mitzvah,
that's good.
I give it a 4.5, and I would give this beer a 5. I just think it needs to age properly, like just a bit. I think if this was just a little smoother, it'd be like perfect. So that's my pint rating for that. It's a great beer though, and for craft beer lovers out there that like a big, bold, roasty porters and stouts and that type of thing, you'd like this beer.
I need to try this beer.
Those are my pint ratings.
Sweet. Y'all. Tell me, how about you?
Well, for the Trogs Mad Elf Ale, I don't want to talk smack, but I think that this is, and this is not negative, this is a grandma beer. Only because it has that very, like, the cherries are very present. And Chris, you bought a bottle and you actually left it at my house, and I ended up drinking it a few weeks ago. The Kelkachos.
That's what happens.
Oh, yeah.
Which, on the Kelkachos, they tell you, like, drink it with ice. Like, you actually are supposed to put ice in the beer and drink it like that. So it's almost like a wine cooler kind of thing. So with this, it reminded me of that. Like, now I was just thinking of it, and I know earlier I said it reminded me of the Cherry Oak Doppelbach from Widmer Brothers. But with now that I'm thinking of it more, I think with these cherries are so present, and it's so easy drinking, and it's almost refreshing, that it reminded me more of the Kelkachos, which is a cherry ale. It's like Belgian or something like that.
Yeah, I forget who that was. Was that the... Who's the Canadian brewer?
Unibrew. That's what it was, yeah. Yeah, it's Unibrew's Kelkachos. That's who it is. But that's kind of what it makes me think of. It's like, yeah, you could probably throw some ice in this and have it on, like during brunch. You know what I mean? Because there's that low carbonation.
Canada, for all of our Canadian listeners, that should clue you in that you should let us know what some good Canadian beers are when I say, you know, the Canada Brew. And that's the only thing that comes to mind is Unibrew. So,
yeah.
That's better than saying, like, Moosehead or something.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah. Aren't you glad I didn't say Moosehead? Hey, you know, the Canadian one. Oh, yeah, those guys, eh? Moosehead.
Moosehead.
Granville Island. Anyway. So I don't think it's bad. I actually like it. It's good. So I think I'm going to stick with you, Mike. I think I'm going to go with 4 pints. But your grandma will love it.
Your grandma?
She probably would. And that's probably why I'm thinking of that. Because she likes... She used to like the Strawberry Hill Boone's Farm.
Nice.
Not that this is like Boone's Farm here, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway. Yeah.
No, the quality of Boone's Farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deschutes Jubal Ale. This is one hell of a beer. I like this beer a lot. I don't think I can go a full 5 pints for some reason, but I really, really like it. It's great. It's all around great. It's a perfect winter warmer.
You're awfully greedy with
camping.
Your fives. That's what I think.
It's nice and hoppy, and it's nice and malty and roasty and all that stuff. So, what'd you say, Mike?
Oh, I think you're just awfully greedy with your fives. That's what I think.
Well, you didn't give a 5 either.
No, I didn't. But I'm not as greedy.
And keep in mind, this is Christmas Eve, and this is in the spirit of giving.
Should I just give all the beers a 5?
We're feeling very giving today.
Whatever, Grinch.
I'm going with 4.5 for the Deschutes Jubal Ale.
Robbing
way too long. Sorry, guys. It's really, really good, though. Really good.
Good.
Nice.
My turn. For the Trogs Mad Elf Ale, I'm right in there with you guys. I really liked it a lot. I thought the cherries, I don't know if I'd go so far as to call it, you know, a grandma beer, but I think it's quite a bit of a step up from Boone's, but it's good. I really like it. I think it's sweet. It's
plus
good.
Cherries have always been higher than strawberries on the fruit like hierarchy anyway, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. About
cherries
that.
Have been the more sophisticated.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Strawberry. No?
No. But what about the snozzberry? You know what I liked about it was when you, a lot of times when people add cherries to beer, it tends to make the beer really, really sour. Yeah. And that wasn't the case here. It really kind of, it seemed like it kind of pulled the sweetness from the cherries, not so much the sourness. And
yeah,
I really,
totally.
I liked that a lot. So yeah, I really like this beer a lot. I'm going to go with 4 pints as well. It was good. It was very tasty. Wasn't, you know, 5 pints worth, but it was very good.
I think the honey dried it out, like, just enough. Honey tends to do that.
Yeah, I think that's what pulled out some of the sour. I think the honey kind of pulled out some of the sour out of it, but that would have been there otherwise. For my old jubilation from Avery, I really like this guy. He was a tasty fella. Tasty. Yeah, the nuttiness with the toasty and the it is exactly what a winter warmer should be. Yeah, with all of the right notes, all of the sort of Christmas spices, and what the cool thing about it is though, those notes are there, like the nutmeg and the cinnamon, and you kind of pick up on those, but they don't use any of those spices in it. It's all malts. There's no additional spices put in this beer, so it's interesting that you get those.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's interesting that you get those flavors and those notes from this without them actually being added to it. So huge success. I am going to actually be in the Christmas giving spirit, and I am going to give this a 5-pinter.
Nice.
Good show,
good job,
sir. Good show.
It's
a Merry Christmas to you also, sir.
Yes. It's it's a very tasty beer, and I will definitely be having a few more of these, and I will be going to pick up this year's. And it'll be interesting, since this was last year's and it's been sort of shelved for a year, it'll be interesting to go pick up a 6-pack of this and see what this year's, how this year's compared, and see if it's maybe a little more tart, which, you know, is something that tends to mellow out with age. You know,
I'd like to follow up on that, Chris.
Okay.
I want you to follow up and let us know.
All right, I will do that.
Yeah. Sweet.
I would be interested to hear that as well.
Yeah, so that's my rating for the old jubilation from Avery. You guys got any individual shout-outs you want to mention?
I guess just check out schmaltz.com. They have the Hebrew beers. They are the chosen beer, for those of you who didn't know. Also, they got the Coney Island lagers.
And they got your
blueprints. Which will surprise you. I'm not a big fan of the lager. And they make some pretty damn good ones. I can't remember which one I tried. I think it was just the Coney Island lager. It was more like a red.
The Coney Island lager, anyway.
Yeah. Check them out if you get a chance.
Wait, Toby, how about you?
DeschutesBrewery.com.
And I've got AveryBrewing.com and, of course, our fermentation for this week, the Trogues Mad Elf. Go to www.
Yeah, don't forget Trogues. They make some good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter. Just search for Beer Coasters Pod. On Facebook, there's actually two ways for you to find us. Just search for Beer Coasters Podcast. You'll find both our regular Facebook page plus our Facebook fan page for the Beer Coasters Podcast.
Lots of Facebooking.
Facebook
from the Beer Coasters. If you have any comments, suggestions, your favorite beer or your favorite beer bar, email us Backwash, and that's backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also drunk dial us at 339-BACKWASH. That's BAKWASH.
That's how we spells it. That's going to come up soon.
What, drunk dial?
A drunk dial.
'Tis the season.
All right.
And that number again is 339-225-9274.
Anyway.
Huh?
We'll see.
Are you planning on getting drunk and calling the Beer Coasters Podcast?
Very possibly.
That's a brilliant idea.
Right after the show?
We should just start calling in at the end of the show.
I'm drunk.
And just let
I'm drunk. Great show, guys.
This was a great show, guys. This stuff was some good stuff.
This is really good stuff.
It had lots of alcohol and good flavors.
Nothing under 4 pints.
I'm going to go and play with my family jewels.
Don't forget to check out the Wiggity Wiggity website, which is beercoasterspodcast.com. Plenty of stuff to do there within the website. So much fun. You can subscribe to the show in iTunes, and we're also on podcast.com.
And I would recommend, with all of the like Visa gift cards you get tomorrow, that you that you take those to where you can pick up the Beer Coasters swag. If you go to the beercoasterspodcast.com and click on the shop link, it'll direct you to the Cafe Press site where you can pick up all your shirts and stickers and steins and stuff.
Yeah. That's right.
After Christmas special stuff just for you.
Yes.
As always, tell your friends. Thanks for listening.
And don't forget, if you're in the Las Vegas area, to check out Aces and Ales. It's a cool beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada. One of the co-owners is our friend, I guess we could say.
Sure.
Carrie Kelly. And support your local brewery. Drink local. Because local,
drink local
is fresh.
And be looking, we may be doing an interview soon with a friend of Carrie Kelly's, hopefully. But we'll give you
yes,
more information.
That will be sometime in January.
In January,
I believe.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah. We'll keep you posted on that.
And of course, don't drink and drive, because that's
right
just dumb.
I just said January. And, that's
and besides,
like,
if you drink
week
and drive, you may spill your beer.
That's right.
And you don't want to do that.
Don't want to spill your beer. Spilling your beer is dumb.
That's very dumb.
It's very
dumb.
Especially while you're driving.
Yes.
Merry
cheers,
Christmas,
y'all.
Folks.
Merry Christmas.
Cheers.
Merry Christmas. Oh, a big shout out to Beer Coaster Mike for sending me the Mad Elf.
Nice. Well, yes, thank
you're,
you.
You're
thanks, dude.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Oh, and one last thing. Happy birthday to Beer Coaster Chris. Because he'll be
yay, Beer Coaster Chris. Happy birthday.
His birthday
happy
on Monday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
I'm like stuck in the past, but it's in the future. And
this is so
I'm
weird,
so confused.
Man.
Sweet. Cheers.
Cheers. Ooh, that had a ring to it.
That was a double one. Hit him at the same time.
This guy's tasty.
Actually, just be, I'm so angry. Put down my beer.
Wait, we are talking about beer, right? I'm thinking this probably is not a family show.